Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they lost their beloved dog and cat only weeks earlier. Then, in the middle of the night, both animals suddenly appeared inside their apartment and urgently led them towards the door. Minutes later, they understood why they had come back.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi!
That it is. I was trying to catch the dog. I was trying to have the dog here. And of course, you know, she'll walk over all the time. But like when it's like, come here. She's like, I don't think so.
Where are you?
I can hear her.
She's over there. And the one spot I can't see in front of the desk right over here. So, she'll show up and she'll say things that are inappropriate.
That dog.
And you'll have to say, can't say that on the air, you know, but.
Wonder where she gets that from.
I don't know.
Golly, me too. I can't figure that out.
I don't know.
Jeez.
Anyway. This is funny because I do talk to my dog a lot. Is this crazy? Is this me? Is there something I should be concerned with? Because when I'm talking to the dog, a lot of times it's like, I love you so much. You know, I hope you're a ghost someday. And, you know, then you can always be, you know, hanging out with me. I'm always thinking about the death of the dog at some point. And the dog's like a year, almost two. She's almost two. But it's like, I don't like worry about it, but I'm always just like, I just love this pet. Like this is my favorite dog, my favorite pet. I'm sorry, other dogs. I think that I've ever had. And it's just, I know she's young, but it's like, I love this pet. I don't want another one. I will, but you know,
I have never in my life been like, after you die, can you come back and haunt me, please?
Well, I love you that much. That's the conversation I'm having is let's be ghosts together.
I don't think I've ever done that.
No.
Todd?
I've thought about, I can't imagine when this happens, right?
Yes, like,
how I feel when you know, Draven's gone, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I've not, and I have conversations with him, just like any other pet owner, right? I've got nicknames for him, but I've never said, hey, you know what? When you go, feel free to come on back. Let's hang together.
After I die. Wait for me or I'll
wait for
you.
I feel like we really just need to establish this expectation. So when it happens, it's, you have a guaranteed ghost pet, you know?
Probably not a bad idea.
I would lay it out there, right?
Yeah.
I like the idea of being in eternity with my pets.
Then it's, we're on the same page. I think it's important to talk to your pets about how they're going to haunt, you know.
Prepare them for the afterlife and set expectations.
Exactly. Because like, how else are they going to know? You know,
like having a talk with your teenagers about sex, right?
Have a talk with your pets about death.
Yeah.
How are they going to haunt? Where are they going to haunt? What's going on?
How are we meeting up? Where are we meeting up?
Right.
All of that. You have to. Now, don't go beyond this area. You got to, you know. They're pets, you know. You got to like set the invisible fence. Before the end, I will teach you how to do it in my 7-part video series. How to prepare Fido for the finale.
That's going to be a new sponsor next week. I just know it.
I got to write that down. I have like a running notepad now.
You do.
Now that I can do these videos and shit, because I've always had these ideas. I've just never had a way to actually express them other than like doing audio or something. But like never, you know, I can create anything I want now from these fucked up ideas. So they tend to come out in commercial form or trailers. I don't know. There's so many.
I think it should be a hypnosis seminar that you take your pet to. You both go and the pet and you get hypnotized. And then he does what he does, right? He can stop your smoking. That's one seminar. He can help you lose weight in another seminar. And then he can have the pet afterlife seminar as well.
I've always had a fear of hypnosis. Like, what if you don't snap out of it? What if they hypnotize you and you can't come out of it?
It's their first seminar. They just came out of hypnosis school, right?
And it's like
they got like a C+ on the test.
I've never
I gotta Google this. How do I get her out of hypnosis?
I've never understood the hypnosis thing. It's not to say that I don't believe it. People can go under it. I believe they can, but. Have you ever been at one of those where it's like the group of
the
them,
comedy
like,
thing?
Yeah, where they go on stage and then people are like driving the car and bullshit. Like, I remember like being called up to one of those once and like, it's like, pretend you're driving a car. I'm like, okay, you know, like, but some people are like really freaking into it, you know? And then I was always the one where it's like, get off stage because like, you're not into it. Like, right. All right. And because I wasn't, I'm like, you're asking me to do it, sure, but I'm not like under your spell to do this. I guess I've never quite understood the under the spell of something where someone doing that, do you not remember then what happened? Are they, is that just a blank or do you know you did it and you're just going along with it? Or is it just the power of suggestion and a lot of people are just fucking sheep?
I wonder if it's the power of suggestion, but also I think if it's, is it a mindset where you're one of those people who believe anything you see or hear or, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you have to have some suggestibility in your DNA where somebody tells you this is the way it is and you just believe them? So if they tell you you're hypnotized, you're going to believe you're hypnotized.
Yeah.
Cause I tried it once and I was like you, Tony, I'm like, what happens? Because nothing's happening. And then it was like, okay, get rid of her fast. Because I think of some radio bit.
Yeah.
And move on to the next person. Let's ignore the fact that she didn't go under.
Yeah. It's, I've never gone under. I mean, it's interesting to watch how some people really get into it, but I just don't know if some people are just performing, you know, or.
Right, right.
There's a lot of motivations people are going to have for doing what they're doing. I don't particularly like doing stupid shit in public. So it's not something I'm going to be like really enthusiastic about. I don't know. I'm curious about that. I'm sure there's plenty of people who've been in that situation that could answer that. That'd be a good one to answer in the comment section on YouTube. If you've been under hypnosis, like that, what was it like? What was going through your mind?
And what do you remember? Like,
what do you
remember? If you did the comedy show, I would love to know. Did you remember doing the comedy show?
Well,
and then you just see the video of it later.
And then there's the other version. There's the therapeutic version too, where it is, you know, kind of about regret, you know, getting into to past memories and things, which can also, you know, sometimes lead to false memories too. So I'm curious if someone's been into that state, what was that like? And do you remember what you just were talking about when you pop out of it, you know, or don't you, or do you? And it was just kind of like, you just kind of got pretty deep and then you came out and whatever got you there, got you there. I don't know. I'm curious.
Or
I've never
quit
been
smoking.
There.
Some people say they've quit smoking through hypnosis. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Yeah. And just kind of where your brain goes and how it gets there. I'm fascinated by that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. In a few moments, we're going to watch a new commercial for a new sponsor of the program called One More Day. Something, if you've watched a previous episode, you may have seen one version of the ad. They have a new and improved version. This is a product that allows you, once your pet passes, no matter how long it's been with one injection, you get it back for one more day. That's coming up after our first ghost story at 855-853-4802. Hello.
I'm calling today because I want to share my ghost story with you. When I was 20, my boyfriend's dog was hit by a car. Kaiser, the dog, was a gorgeous German Shepherd. He was well-behaved and he was absolutely beautiful. He was smart and brave and everything you would ever want in a dog. Within a week of Kaiser's death, my cat had also died. We didn't know what happened to Lexi, but one day she was fine, and the next she wasn't moving, and she was just laying on her cat tree. We rushed to the vet, but it was too late, and she had to be put down. No diagnosis was ever determined, and we could never find a cause. Lexi had been a really funny cat, and she truly thought she was a tiger, and she wasn't afraid of anything. A few weeks after their death, me and my boyfriend moved into our first apartment together. In the excitement of decorating and settling in, we didn't notice the small signs that would have prepared us for what was to come. When I was unpacking a box of kitchen stuff, I found Lexi's collar. I remember thinking that it must have accidentally packed it or knocked it into the box, but I knew I really hadn't. And when I was painting the bedroom, I'd worked my way across nearly the whole wall, and when I looked back toward the door, paint was rubbed off my wall and dragged along the doorframe, as if a cat was rubbing itself on the doorframe. I told myself that I just walked too close to the wall and smudged it with my pant leg, but I knew I hadn't even walked that way. And when I was sleeping in bed one night, I felt something jump into the bed, wedge itself behind my knees, and then settle in, just like Lexi always used to do. I felt the warmth of the small creature, and I reached my hand to feel what had curled up next to me, but nothing was there. Nothing except an ice-cold spot. Even as my hand felt the cold, I still felt the warmth on my legs. It was so strange. I didn't even try to offer an explanation on that one. I just slept with the lights on that night. But I wasn't the only one having strange experiences. My boyfriend woke up one night, and his hand was soaked. He touched it, and it wasn't water, but it felt more like slobber. He sat up and looked everywhere. He was sure that there would be an explanation, but he never found one. And a few weeks later, he heard something drinking water in the kitchen. He carefully walked out into the dining room, peeked around the corner of the kitchen, fully expecting to see a stray dog or a wild animal, but there wasn't anything there. And then there was what we called the phantom barking. We never heard anything, but whenever we were on the phone in our apartment, the person on the other end of the line couldn't hear us. Everyone would say, "Can you quiet down your dog?" or "Whose dog is barking like that?" I never heard a thing until I left a voicemail for my boyfriend and we play it back. Sure enough, barking was in the background. It didn't sound vicious. It sounded playful, and it sounded like a big dog. To be honest, it sounded like Kaiser. We didn't talk about these events much. We were still so swept up in our new place and the first time living away from our parents. The last thing we wanted to do was go back to our parents' homes and admit that we were too scared to live on our own. A few weeks later, it was a hot summer night, and the air conditioner in the apartment building hadn't been working well for the past few days. And our apartment on the third floor was very hot and uncomfortable. We'd been laying in bed with the window fan blowing directly on us for about an hour when we heard a jingling sound. My boyfriend sat up and looked around the room, but nothing was there. At this time, the television was on and the room was lit up a bit, and we could easily make out every corner of the room, and we couldn't see anything out of the ordinary. Then the bathroom door popped open about 2 feet, like someone nudged it. I should say this door swung open toward the fan, not like the fan was blowing it open. Though we didn't see anything open it or go in, we did see a short shadow in the bathroom as it passed behind the door. It was not human-shaped. It was shaped like an animal, but we couldn't see enough detail to determine what kind of animal it was. My boyfriend was convinced it was a wild animal, and he grabbed his gun and bum-rushed the bathroom door. The door swung open, and he had his gun ready to take down whatever creature was there, but there wasn't anything in there. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and neither of us knew what to do, so we came back to bed. Not 10 minutes passed, and it happened again. The bathroom door popped open, and this time we both went to the bathroom and pushed the door away. This time we noticed the cold air coming out of the room. Since the apartment had been so hot, the cold bathroom was actually kind of nice. As we were savoring the cold air, we heard a crash in the bedroom. We rushed out of the bathroom to see that everything that had been on top of the television, a vase, a book, and a picture frame, all three were on the floor shattered, and the book was on top of it. Before we could write off that, we felt something big and hairy run between us. This time, when we looked down, we saw it. It was Kaiser, clear as he ran to the door to the bedroom and barked at us. We were both frozen and surprised, and we didn't immediately move. Kaiser barked again, only this time it was more urgent. We still didn't move. We thought we had lost our minds, and we didn't even say anything to each other. We just stood there with our mouth hanging open in shock. Then I felt something rub against my leg, and I looked down. It was Lexi, her gray stripes and all. We ran to the bedroom door with Kaiser, and she ran back to the door and looked back at us as if to say, "Are you coming?" We walked toward them, and they walked forward, and they led us through the apartment all the way to the front door. They kept a good 6 feet in front of us at all times. They never let us catch up. We ran all the way into the living room and through the front door, the door that had been locked and closed before we went to bed, by the way. But that didn't matter. We didn't even think about it. We were following our beloved pet to wherever they led us. We just wanted them back. We rounded the corner from the doorway to the hallway that led to the flights of stairs, and our animals were gone. We lost sight of them for less than a millisecond, and they were gone. We made it halfway down the second flight, and we were sure they were gone. As we were about to go upstairs to our apartment to discuss what we had just been through, downstairs neighbor ran into us as he was ascending the flights of stairs. He looked so worried and scared, he wrapped his arms around us and said, "Thank God you're alive." We laughed him off a bit, but he led us downstairs in a hurried pace. We walked to the large yard in front of the building. A small crowd stood on the grass, and they stared up at the third floor. We thought it was strange because all these people were up at 3 a.m., but we looked up and everyone was looking at the building and it was on fire. At that moment, what would have been our bathroom burst into flames. We were stunned. I felt once more a brush of a warm body against my leg, and I looked down just in time to see the gray stripes of Lexi fade into nothingness. Before I could tell my boyfriend that I'd seen her again, something made us both look toward the street. Kaiser stood there, tail wagging, tongue hanging out, typical Kaiser. The apartment was totaled and we lost everything in the fire, but we survived. If we hadn't left the apartment when we did, we would have died up there. That night, our animals, who we loved so much, saved our lives. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you for sharing that story with us.
That was vivid.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Because I think we've all had experiences where, I know, Tony, you have with, you thought your cat jumped in the bed and all, and my dog, and you have these experiences, but to actually see them and interact, pretty vivid.
And to, if you're asleep and the fire starts, there is a really good chance you would never wake up.
Right.
Yeah.
And, or if you do, it's too late.
Yeah.
And the fact that they woke up and they didn't even see fire in their apartment. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder if it was a roof or something that caught on fire first and then went to their apartment. But I mean, it was like they came back to lead them out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And they'd also seemed to have experiences before then.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, was that the dogs or was it, you know, the pets there, or was it something using that to help lead them, knowing that that would be the most insane thing to see your two dead pets? Number one, that's going to shock you. And then you're also in a fire. And that would be, is that the thing that's just going to wake you and get you the most attention as quickly as needed to get them out of the house? Are you using that imagery for that, or is something doing that? Or is it the actual pets?
Good point.
You know, I don't know. But yeah, but what's behind it, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it might be our sponsor. It might be these people right here.
You never forget them. The way they curled up beside you, the sound they made when you came home. And when they're gone, a part of you goes with them. But what if they didn't have to stay gone? One more day, one quick injection of our patented Reel of Juice, and your pet is back, no matter how long it's been. Bernice lost her cat Fiddles 3 years ago, so she dug her up and gave her one more day. Now Fiddles is back on her lap, purring, missing an ear and most of the fur on her left side, but purring.
I keep finding little pieces of her around the house, a claw in the carpet, a tooth on the windowsill, but that's just what cats do. They leave you little gifts.
The Henderson's Golden Retriever Snuckles gave his life-saving little Jimmy from an 18-wheeler. Took all 18 wheels, every single one. With one more day, Snuckles pulled himself across the backyard on his two remaining legs to give Jimmy one last lick on the face.
Snuckles smells different now, but Mom says that's just his new smell. We played fetch and something came off, but he didn't even care. He's the best boy ever.
Jimmy hasn't stopped screaming since, but he says it's worth it. Doug brought back his iguana scales after 11 years. There isn't a lot of scales left, but Doug doesn't mind.
Is he the same iguana? Honestly, I don't know. There's not enough of him to compare. But something in that tank blinked at me, and that was enough.
Linda has used One More Day 14 times on her poodle, Mr. Buttons.
Every time I say, this is the last time, then the day ends, and I'm back at Costco. The pharmacist won't make eye contact anymore, but he still sells it to me, and that's what matters.
One More Day, available at Costco and CVS, because love doesn't care what you look like.
Certainly does not. Love doesn't care what you look like.
What if you can use that good RX card to get discounts on this?
I wonder if they got that.
Be calling Costco and CVS. You got that One More Day stuff? Like what?
Ooh.
No, it's not real. It's not real. Don't call Costco or CVS. But there you go.
See, you get a letter tomorrow, cease and desist from Costco.
And I've cremated all of my pets. And I assume it doesn't work.
Well, now you can't use it, Carol.
I know.
That's mine are all been, cremated too.
I've always been anti-cremation. So
why is that, Tony?
Because I want to be a zombie.
Yeah, I know.
That's my whole reasoning. I want to be a zombie. So you can't do it when you're cremated. And
that's
true. That's so. And I also think, you know, with the pets, I'm just thinking about them. If they want to get up and zombie too, you know,
I just want them to have the option.
Yeah. I want them to have the option. I think you're stealing that from them when you cremate them.
And Snuckles, do you want the option to come back? Because if you do, Daddy won't cremate you.
That was a children's nursery rhyme back in the day.
Yeah, there was a little song that goes along with it, but I don't remember the melody. So
I could probably come up with that.
I'm sure you could.
Let's go to a ghost story at 855-853-4802. Hi.
I'm about 23 now, and this story actually happened when I was younger, young enough to where I would get in occasional fights with my younger sister, as all younger siblings probably did. I was walking through Costco, of all places, the grocery store, with me, my younger sister, and my mom. We were in the back of the store where they sold, like, the drinks, you know, and it was farther back than the entrance or the cashier. It was kind of isolated in a way, wasn't really crowded. We were walking down the aisle, and I guess me and my sister got into a little argument, and I ended up hitting her on the arm. And it was pretty light, but, you know, considering we were both young, it probably had more meaning then. Anyways, it wasn't so out of the ordinary. We got in little squabbles every now and then. But we're walking around, and as we round the corner of the aisle, I see this older man, and he was standing to himself, and he was wearing a suit. I remember a dark suit, you know, he had a light shirt under, or maybe a white shirt, but the suit itself was dark, a tie, and he was wearing a hat, and he was an older man, had wrinkles and everything. It was just odd, because when we rounded the corner, and when I looked at him, I instantly had felt deep remorse for hitting my sister, and it's something that is kind of hard to describe, because we didn't say anything, and a few minutes had passed since I'd actually hit her or slapped her, you know, on the arm. It sounds so terrible, but, you know, some time had passed, so to see him and to instantly think of it, it was just odd to me. Like, it didn't just feel like I was sorry for it, but it felt like that's what he wanted me to think. It's really odd, but I can't really put into words what I felt, but it was this overwhelming feeling that he was good. I got that. And I also felt very, very bad. And how I translated it to myself at such a young age was that it almost made me want to cry, like a good tear, kind of like a, I'm so sorry, what am I doing kind of thing. And it was so much to where I wanted to apologize to my sister. Granted, I didn't, but it was just really odd. I got this weird feeling. So anyways, I don't think much of it. Granted, it did cause me trouble at that moment. And now that I'm looking back, I can describe it in such a way. But at the moment, I was just like, that's the weirdest thing ever. So we keep walking, you know, mulling over it a few seconds. I'm like, okay, this is kind of strange. I'm just going to ask my mom if she at least saw the guy, because he was so on his own and he wasn't even shopping. And the way we made eye contact, it was just so strange. So we kept walking, and I looked at my mom and I said, did you? And she goes, see that guy? And I was shocked, because one, it was just odd for her to finish my sentence. Like, she knew what I was going to say. And I was like, yeah, did he make you feel kind of weird? And she was like, yeah. And granted, I didn't get into more detail with her. I didn't ask her how he made her feel. But it was really odd to me that she knew exactly what I was about to say. So I was like, was he real? And it was just weird how we could understand each other without actually going into detail. And she was like, you know, I'm not sure. Let's go and check. So we rounded the bend, like the aisle, and came back through. And of course, you know, he wasn't there. And it was just a really weird experience. I don't know, of course, for sure if it was anything paranormal, but, you know, at that moment, and what I kind of told myself afterwards and what I still kind of tell myself today is that maybe, I don't know, this is the only way I can describe it, but maybe he was an angel of some sort, and it was his job to kind of just be there. And it was something that was good to learn from, I guess, you know, because he did make me feel sorry for what I had just done, which isn't necessarily the best thing in the world. Granted, kids getting a little tiff all the time. There's other times where I've been able to kind of read somebody or something. And it's always a good emotion, though. I know that it seems like it's notoriously kind of a mean thing or a bad thing that people pick up on, but I can just get this overwhelming feeling that I can't quite describe. But thanks for listening. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. And yeah, that's it. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that. Thoughts on all that?
I think the weirdest part is that his mom, he's like, did you see that? Like, it bothered him to the point that he points it out to his mom. Was he real? And the mom even says, I don't know. Like, they both picked up on something.
Yeah.
And he got that overwhelming feeling of guilt for hitting his sister. And so maybe it could have been some sort of angel spirit thing. But I do think it's strange that he got such a weird feeling after seeing the guy. And so did the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just though, sometimes you just walk by people and you just kind of get a, I don't know why I really detest you, mm-hmm. but I really do. Like, there's something here that there's something about you. Something about the way you look tonight. Yep. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Number one on American Top 40 for the 57th week in a row. That one was number one in a long time on Casey's AC Top 20.
Oh, the
top
AC, 25, yeah.
Casey's Countdown.
Yeah. Yep.
Casey's Countdown on Westwood One Radio Networks. There you go. The nursery rhyme we were just talking about before, I found it.
Oh, good, good.
So we can, I think I got to, hang on, I got to download it over here so we can... we can listen to it. Okay. Preparing your download. Here we go. This is Snuckles do or whatever. Oops. Are we not hearing anything?
Nope.
Move this. Is it, is this muted? Yep, it is.
Body kiss your cold head.
That's gonna be creepy. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Okay, we're ready.
Snuckles, too. Do you want daddy to cremate you? Cook yourself fur, crack your bones, or dig you up once the maggots have grown.
Oh my God.
Hold your stiff body kiss your cold head, Your tongue is black and your eyes are dead. Should I light the fire and watch you melt? Or sew your guts so you can still yelp? Snuggles, Snuggles too. Do you want Daddy to cremate you? I'll keep the ash or keep the meat. Daddy's going crazy just for you. Sweet, speak. Or I choose for both of us. Snuggles. Snuggles.
Jesus Christ.
Forever mine.
Okay. That might be the creepiest thing you've ever created.
That's the shit of nightmares right there.
Like, yes. Yes.
Holy crap.
What the hell was that?
I'm going to have to watch something to cleanse my brain after this. Like the Golden Girls or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, surprisingly, that's almost what the Golden Girls theme was. It's very, very similar in that vein. And then they decided, you know, might be a little dark for NBC Saturday nights. They just went with Empty Nest instead.
which is not that far off from being creepy.
No, I like that. That's one you never see on reruns anywhere.
Yeah, you can't really find it anywhere like on Hulu or anything like that. It's one of those shows that did well, but I don't know that there's a lot of love for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the Golden Girls universe.
Yes, it was. It was a spinoff, but I don't know if there was enough love for it to keep it going.
I saw Golden Palace pop up the other day.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah. And that was only one season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of amazing that thing died the way it did.
Well, you take a main character out and then you change everything about the show. They're running a hotel at the age of 60, 70, 80. Come on, get out of here. And you bring in Cheech Marin.
True.
Right?
It wasn't a bad show, though.
It was a nice way to. Yeah, it was fine.
It wasn't a Frasier, though, like Cheers or something.
No. No.
Yeah. Golden Palace with Frasier and the ghosts of the Golden Girls. It's haunted.
Mm. Oh.
And Dr. Frasier Crane has to give therapy to the Golden Girls to help them move on to the other side, and wacky comedy ensues every week.
There you go.
I think that would be a great television show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or on YouTube in the comment section. Tell us your ghost story right there. And we'll continue our conversation on YouTube. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.